We need to have the right attitude in all things that we do. We need to keep a close attention on our attitude. Attitude can be explained as a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. I once read that your attitude is communicated to others in three ways. These percentages that I'm going to give are approximate, and I don't know where I got them, to be honest with you. But 7% by our words, 38% by the tone of our voice, and 55% by the nonverbal ways, such as our posture and our mannerisms. What this tells me that our words are one way, our tone of voice is another way to show our attitude, but our nonverbal ways of are very important in our attitude that communicates to others. So it's important, not just the words that we say, not just the tone of voice, but how we actually have the right attitude. For example, if I'm standing here before you and I'm like hunched over and I'm not like really have the right attitude to preach to you, then what is that going to be portrayed to you? Well, see, my words are important because hopefully I'm bringing forth a message from God's word. But the tone of my voice is also portrayed in my communication. But the nonverbal posture in those type of the nonverbals are what really kind of show our attitude and our behavior. You see, you control your attitude. You are in control of your attitude. All of us at one time or another express the three different types of attitude, whether it's positive, negative, or neutral. We express these, and we express them all the time in our everyday life. You, as I mentioned, are in control of your attitude. If you have a good attitude, chances are you will brighten others' day. If you have a bad attitude, you may alienate yourself from others. Now, how is your attitude? How is your attitude when we look at this particular subject today? How is your attitude when you are in the worship setting and the collection plate comes in front of you? When that plate is put before you, because we will look at the opportunity we get to give in a worship service, we want to ask you, what is your attitude when that collection plate is right before you? Do we have a good attitude? Are we being a cheerful giver? Do we have a bad attitude because we think all the other ways that we could use that money? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves someone who is cheerfully giving back to Him. And that's all in our attitude to God. Now, today I want to look at three points. The privilege of giving will be our first point. The privilege we get to give back to God. As Christians, we are privileged to have an opportunity to give back to the Lord. Oftentimes, we may forget what an honor it is to give of our means to God. Giving is an act of worship, recognizing the greatness of God, the greatness of God of heaven, as the lesser, being us, paying homage to the greater. And we need to make sure we have a proper attitude when we give. I give because I'm expected, or I give because I want to. How do you think when you give? Maybe you don't think at all. Maybe you're just happy to give, but that is great as well. But we must consider how our attitude is when we give. God is the giver of all things, and we need not to forget that. God is the giver of all things. If you would turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 through 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 through 15. Now this is David. David said, therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, bless, are you Lord, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, O God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is your holy hand and is your holy own. We look at this and we see that our God owns everything. He has given us everything that he has, and he should be worshiped. He should be praised. He should be the one we look at and honor in every way of our life. We are to be like God. We are to imitate God. Not God like where we're all powerful, almighty. We're not. We are paying homage to the greatness of God. And when we look at the greatness of God, and we are to imitate that. And God has given us the greatest blessing of Jesus Christ, his Son. Are we giving our best back to God like he did for us? God expects us to give as we have prospered. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And it says, now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. You see, what we are to do is plan. And I, being an accounting background, say budget. Budget. Plan, budget what you are going to do with your money. But put God first when you do it. Plan and put aside and save the money that you are going to give to God. We are to give of our means. We are not to give grudgingly or under compulsion, but we are to give with the proper attitude by our means that we have. Do we have the proper attitude when we give, knowing that it is a privilege to give back to God? Now we look at the promises of giving. God promises that we'll have an abundance. We'll have an abundant abundance. When we look at what this means, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. It says, but I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, that he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let us one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he who dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply the multitude the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. We see here that we that sowing in the context speaks of a seed producing many seeds, but we have to first plant a single seed. Therefore, he who gives to the Lord liberally will reap a bountiful harvest of blessings from God. Now, we got to be careful about that. Are we giving so God will give back to us? Are we giving with the right attitude where we're just giving back to God? And that's the way we should. We should give back to God of our means. But you know what? In everything we do, God also gives back to us. We think of worship service, and when we look at worship service, we know that giving our worship to God, and what a great thing that we can do is to pay homage to God by worshiping, by praising His name, by lifting up our voice and praising in hymns and songs, that we can raise our voice to God. We can hear a message from God's word. We can partake of the Lord's Supper, remembering the death of Jesus. And what ultimately happens? We are encouraged. We are built up. And we walk away when we have the right attitude. When we worship God in spirit and in truth, we get that encouragement. What happens is when we give to God our worship, He gives us that strength, that encouragement, that we can go for and live for Him the rest of our week or rest of our days. We look at this. It's the same principle when we give of our means. God will bless you. God will bless you, but we have to do it with our right attitude. I once thought when I was younger, you know, I'm going to give because I want God to bless me. Well, no, that's not the right attitude. We can't have that attitude. We got to give because we want to, because we have the right attitude, because we know what a privilege it is to give back to God because He has given us everything. And Christians should Christian giving affects all of life like a seed does, providing food for all. We have this seed and we plant it, and what's it produce? It produces fruit. And that's the way our seed is giving back to God. Giving it to God and it produces. We're going to reap what we sow. And there's so many principles that can be preached from this. But giving is like that. The reaping what we sow. If we give to God liberally and we do it with the right heart, the right attitude, God will bless us. God provides for all of our needs. He provides for every one of them. Matthew chapter 6. If you would turn there to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. We look at this. We see in verse 19, it says this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth or rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, one of the things when we give back to God, when we give to God, we should know it's the proper way to do it. We're doing it with the right attitude. Knowing that this money that we may have, these possessions that we have, are just short term. They are short term. We look, where is our heart? Where is our heart? If our heart is thinking of heavenly things, we're going to be focused on heavenly things. When we hold up and store up our treasure here on earth, whether it's money or possessions and those types of things, that's where our heart is. If we're holding back of those, we got to check our attitude, our heart, in this manner. Let's look down at verse 25 in Matthew chapter 6. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you are worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. How beautiful that is. You see, God takes care of the birds of the air. And those birds of the air, they neither reap nor sow. They neither sow or reap. And aren't you worth more than that? Look at Solomon. Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like the lily of the field. God expects this, though. In verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, when you are putting God first in your life, and that's in our everyday actions, in the things we do, the things we say, if we are putting God first when we give, God will provide for you. Don't worry about those necessities of life. God knows that you need them. God knows that you need those things. And he will take care of you. We are to have the proper attitude when we give back to God, knowing that God will provide for us if we put him first in our life. We look at this. Are we giving back to God because we are blessed? Are we only giving God that? Let's make sure that we have that right attitude. Are we going to give because we will be blessed by God? Or are we going to give with the proper attitude because we know that we really are nothing compared to God? But God has given us this privilege to give back to him if we have the right attitude when we give. And it's also, we look at Scripture, we can look at the practice of giving. God has commanded us to give. And now, I heard someone say once that God didn't command us to give. And I question that a little bit because he maybe not has commanded, thou shalt give us of your means. No, it's not written that way, but I think it's expected. God wants you to know, or he wants you to put him first in your life. And when you put God first in your life, it's in every way. It's in every aspect of your life, whether it's of your means, whether it's of your daily walk with God. You're to give God everything because he gave everything for you. Now we look at 2 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. We saw that Paul writing to the churches, he said, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of the week, each one of you is to put aside and save, as he's prospered, so there will be no collections be made when I come. We look at this practice of giving. And we see the example here. The first day of every week. We look at that. There is a first day of the week. Every week. You know, we look at that. We look at the creation and there was day one. And we look at a week and that's day one. The first day of the week. That's when we're to give back. God expects that's the time to give. And we see the example in the first century. The Christian. The expectation there. We also see the example in Acts chapter 2 in verse 45. As they began selling property and possessions, and they were sharing with all as anyone might have need. We see the example here. Why were they doing that? Because that's the practice that God expected. He expected to give back to him so that you can help those that are in need. So that you're sharing with others, that you can help those that might be in need. That's the practice of giving. Now, the question that sometimes arises when we give are, how much do I give? In the Old Testament, there's a tithing of 10%. And now, does that still apply to us today? Are we to look at this and say, well, I'm going to tithe? Well, we got to be careful of that because when we look at the tithing laws, it's of everything. They would count their seeds. They would put everything aside and give 10%, or at least they were supposed to. Now, I want us to look at the churches in Macedonia. And when we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, I want us to see how they were giving and how much they were giving. It says, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in great ordeal of affliction, their abundance and joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much more urging for the favor of participation of the support of the saints, and this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. We can see here that they gave according to their ability. And that is, I think, appropriate. They gave according to their means, what they planned, what they budgeted, and they gave of that, of what they, of their ability, the ability they have. You can't, it's just proper accounting. If you have income of a certain dollar amount, you can't give more than that income. It just makes sense. Now, when we look at that is, okay, well, there's the 10% in tithing in the old law. Well, here we look at they were giving based on their ability. Where are we to give based upon what we have, not what we don't have? We can't give of what we don't have. It's just common sense there. We give based on what we have. Now, I heard this, where these example here, that they gave sacrificially. And I heard it said once in a sermon, and it's something that stuck with me, is the meaning of this giving sacrificially is this, that we are to give until it hurts, and then give a little bit more. And when we look at that, it's sacrificially giving. We remember just our whole life, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. When we look at that, that means we need to live a sacrificial life, and that includes our giving. We are to give sacrificially. Now, does that mean that we're to give more than we should, that we may have to be in need? We have to question that on our own and decide what is proper to give to God. Now, this is going to vary. This is going to vary based on how each person has prospered. Now, there's no command like the Old Testament that commanded a set dollar amount or a set percentage. Therefore, to some who give $20, that may be an appropriate amount to give. Others may give $200 a week, and that would not be sufficient enough because they're not given based on their prosperity. Now let's refer to the widow and the mite. We look at this in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, we see this widow and the mite. And it says, and Jesus said, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. And he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of her abundance, but in the offering for God. But she put out of her poverty. She put out of her poverty, put in all of the livelihood that she had. And she was blessed for it. As we look at this, we can see the example of giving sacrificially. Now, it's not based on a dollar amount, and it's not based on a certain percentage, but it's based on what you earn, what you have prospered. And it's then between you and God. And we look at this, our giving is done with a proper attitude. We are to not feel pressured to give. We must, however, give with an open heart. And nowhere in Scripture does it say that we are to give or not to give based on support or non-support of how the money is being used. And sometimes it may be, well, I don't like that preacher, so you know what? I am not going to give what I should. Or maybe I don't like that elder. Or maybe I don't like the way they're spending their money. Now, don't get me wrong. The support of the eldership that makes decisions, they need to be doing things and good stewards of God's money. They need to do things and support proper scriptural things. And we need to be careful and make sure that, they're accountable for that and in doing things properly and in order according to God's word. But, you know, if we have opinions and different opinions than the elders, remember we are to submit to the elders. We are to submit to them, and they are in control. Obviously, Christ is the head of the church, but the elders are in control of those finances of where they go. And we are to give according to our means, and that should have nothing to do of what they are spending their money, as long as they are spending their money in a proper manner. Now, however, we look at this, we need to understand that God's money needs to be spent wisely. It's in the money that is used in the first century. We can look at these examples and understand how the money was used in scripture that we can look at and know how they should be used today. Now there's different means and different avenues, but we can see the general outlay of how Christians use that money in support of other things. Now we look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 18. It says it's to support the work of the church by paying the preacher or elder. Let's go ahead and look at that verse. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So we see that the money could be used to support the church by paying a preacher or an elder. We also know that the money can be used to help those in need, both Christians and non-Christians. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and starting in verse 12. Starting in verse, well, let's go ahead and read verse 11. It says, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administering of the service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also in abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of their confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayers for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We look at this and we can see that the money is to be used to help those Christians that are in need. But not only those, but the poor. If there's some poor that is not a member of the church, we can support them. We can support them because of what the scripture says, that we are to give not only to the saints. In verse, and we see that this proof that we're to give and not only supply the needs of the saints, but also in the abounding through the thanksgiving to God. We are to help those that are in need and with the purpose. We look at Jesus' example. He had compassion on people. He helped those who were in need. Not every person that Jesus helped became a Christian or a follower of Jesus. Now, some of them did and some of them didn't. You see, some of them later in John, we see Jesus gave a hard teaching and they left him. And that was just right after they fed them with that small amount of food. And we see in that scripture, we see Jesus had compassion for the people. They were a sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion because they were hungry and they needed food. And we see that Jesus, that example, gave to those that are poor and gave to those Christians and non-Christians alike. So we need to understand that we need to support the preacher or the elder if that's to be the case. We also need to help those that are in need, both Christians and non-Christians. And we are also to support missionaries like Paul. We looked at scripture, and that's what Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. He was getting the collection of the saints and distributing it to where there was need. Some of that was his needs. Some of it was the other needs of the church there. And we ultimately know that the furtherance of the gospel was another reason, a way that the money should be used and spent. It only makes sense that if we are to give back to God, that we use it to spread God's word to others. And that is what we look at as we examine our giving and examine our practice of giving and do it with the right attitude. I have to say this. A stingy Christian is a contradiction in terms. I want to say that again. A stingy Christian is a contradiction in terms. And that could be a stingy with their love towards other. I'm not going to love that person, but I love this person. We can't. That's a contradiction. God doesn't work that way. We don't. If we are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, we are to love everybody. When it comes to when we give too, if we're going to be stingy with our money, we have to be careful. It's a contradiction. We have to give back to God by how much He blessed us with. And God has blessed us greatly. So we see here today that we have a privilege of giving. We have a promise of giving and the practice of giving. So let us make sure that we are giving properly by our attitude and by how we have prospered. We thank you so much for joining in today. If you have further questions about this, please feel free to contact us and contact me directly or the church. We are so thankful that you have joined in, and God bless you.